Krishna. Jai, just in time. Okay, so today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. They asked us to pick a verse related to Sankirtan or something inspiring for Sankirtan. So I chose this verse from the 11th canto. This is from chapter 2 and it's text 35. So we can repeat. And it's 8 o'clock already, so we'll keep it short. Translation. O King, one who accepts this process of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead will never blunder on his path in this world. Even while running with his eyes closed, he will never trip or fall. It's a purport by disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. I won't read the whole thing, but we'll read the first section from the purport. According to Srila Sridhara Swami, the word agya, easily, which is used in the previous verse is explained in this verse. He states, agya padenoktam sakrutvam virnoti. By the word agya, the ease of performing bhakti yoga is established, and this will be elaborated in the present verse. In Bhagavad Gita 9.2, the Lord Himself states, praktyasya vagamam dharmyam susukam karatam avyayam. The process of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternal, and it is very joyfully and naturally performed. Srila Prabhupada comments, the process of devotional service is a very happy one. Why? Devotional service consists of Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, so one can simply hear the chanting of the glories of the Lord, or can attend philosophical lectures on transcendental knowledge given by authorized acharyas. Simply by sitting one can learn, then one can eat the remnants of the food offered to God, nice palatable dishes. In every state, devotional service is joyful. One can execute devotional service even in the most poverty-stricken condition. The Lord says, Patram Pushpam Phalam. He is ready to accept from the devotee any kind of offering, never mind what. Even a leaf, a flower, a bit of fruit, or a little water, which are all available in every part of the world, can be offered by any person, regardless of social position, and will be accepted if offered with love. There are many instances of this in history. Simply by tasting the tulsi leaves offered at the lotus feet of the Lord, great sages like Sanat Kumar became great devotees. Therefore, the devotional process is very nice, and it can be executed in a happy mood. God accepts only the love with which things are offered. The essential point to be understood here is that when a living entity surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he tells the Lord, "My dear Lord, although I am most sinful and unqualified, and for so long have been trying to forget you, now I am taking shelter at your lotus feet. From this day on, I am yours. Whatever I possess, my body, mind, words, family, riches, I am now offering at your lotus feet. Please do with me as you like." The Supreme Lord Krishna has repeatedly given assurance in Bhagavad Gita that he will protect and redeem such a surrendered living entity, bringing him back home, back to Godhead, for an eternal life in the Lord's own kingdom. Thus, the qualification of surrendering to the Lord is so great and spiritually potent that even if a surrendered soul is deficient in other aspects of pious life, his elevated status is protected by the Lord himself. So we'll end the purport there. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nivirshesha Shunyavadi Pasyachide Shatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So requesting the blessings of all the devotees, especially Maharaj is here, Ananta Gopal, Paramakruna, Mother Varshana, so many senior Vaishnavas, please bless me that we can speak something in line with Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual master. Vanchikalpatrinvyascha kripa sindhu bhavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. I also have to apologize. Gajendra Prabhu was supposed to be giving class And so they asked me to cover. He had a last-minute thing come up, so apologies. He's a much more qualified and dedicated Sankirtan devotee. He's given his whole life to Srila Prabhupada's books and this mission. I've only given a few years, so you can't compare. But anyway, we can try and say something. So I chose this verse because I didn't have much time to prepare. This is just something I was reading recently, and I thought it was somewhat connected. A very beautiful verse. We'll just read the translation again. It says that, O King, one who accepts this process of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead will never blunder on this path in this world. Even while running with eyes closed, he will never trip or fall. So a very, very reassuring verse, very encouraging, and also, I thought, related to Sankirtan in the sense that when one does Sankirtan, when one does book distribution, or when engages in the Sankirtan Yajna, in whatever aspect that is, then you can never really fail. My spiritual master often says that Sankirtan is the safest place to be. He says he is always meditating on Sankirtan, no matter what other services he gets put into. That's always the safest place because you know for sure you're pleasing Prabhupada. You know for sure that you're pleasing devotees and pleasing Krishna because this is the yajna for the age. This is Prabhupada instruction. I know. In so many other services, there's so much opportunity for politics, for offenses. But when you're out there, when you're doing the mission, then it's almost impossible to go wrong if you're just trying your best. So this verse very much relates to that. You can never fall, you can never fail when you're performing the Sankirtan Yajna. And nothing really works if Sankirtan Yajna is not going on, right? We hear this verse, Yajna Sankirtane Praya Yajanti Hi Sumeda Saha. So when we're performing the Sankirtan Yajna, it's the yajna prescribed for this age, and then things flow, things work. And why is that? Krishna says, in the Padma Purana, Naham tistami vaikunte yoginam vahride cha yatra gayanti madbhakta tatra tishtami narada. He says, I'm not in Vaikuntha, I'm not in the hearts of the yogis. I remain where my devotees are glorifying my name, where the Sankirtan Yajna is happening. So Krishna is present when we're performing this yajna. Krishna is present by Sankirtan. So therefore everything is blessed when we do that. What, I forget the verse. Anyone know the verse? Krishna says, wherever there's... At the end of the Bhagavad Gita, it says this, wherever there's Krishna and Arjuna, then there's... You can say it loud. Okay. Anyway, the essence is, wherever there's Krishna, wherever there's Arjuna, then there's guaranteed to be success and opulence and all things that come along with that. And so Krishna's with us when we're performing Sankirtan. Krishna's there. He's watching. And we can really experience that sometimes. You can really get some magical experiences on Sankirtan. Some devotees call it Krishna magic. And it happens to many, many devotees in all aspects of service. But for me, it happens the most when we're on Sankirtan. There's these special experiences and encounters you have which really remind you of Krishna and prove that he's there. And the Prabhupada is saying how when we're in harmony with Krishna, when we're acting according to Krishna's will, then we'll experience this tremendous empowerment. Prabhupada has this famous, I think it's, they're almost paraphrasing the disciples of Prabhupada from Prabhupada's poem where he says, make me dance as you like, Krishna. His famous poem from Srila Prabhupada. And when we are in line with Krishna's will, when we're in line with, then the mercy flows, and we get a huge amount of empowerment. Actually, yesterday I was just reading Damodar Janani, and it's talking about the point where Krishna pulls over the Arjuna trees, and he's pulling the rope, and he goes between the little cross in the trees. There's a little hole, and the mortar turns itself, and it gets stuck, and then he starts to pull on the rope, thinking that he can pull the trees down. And then as soon as he turns around and starts to pull on the rope, then the rope actually goes slack and Krishna falls over. And he's kind of bewildered. What happened? How come I was pulling? And then he realized that the mortar itself was actually pushing harder than he was pulling. And so then the rope went slack and he actually fell over because the mortar had its own... and Maharaj comments that the mortar was in line with the will of Krishna. And Same with the string. The string, this is just thin. The strings tied that tied Mother Yashoda's hair, very thin pieces of silk. And so they were the things that bound Damodar. And the same with them, because they were in line with the Acharya's comment, because they're in line with Krishna's will and Krishna's desire to pull the trees, then they became immensely strong. Normally they would have snapped very, very, very quickly when you tried to pull over these huge, huge trees. But because they're in line with Krishna's will, then they became unlimitedly strong and they could pull over the trees. So it's the same with us. That's what Sankirtan is really about, is becoming in line with the will of Krishna, in line with the desire of Krishna to spread Krishna consciousness and introduce other people to him. So when we're in line, and that's really the training of Sankirtan, is that you are forced almost to try and put yourself in line with Krishna's will. Because otherwise if you don't, then it doesn't work. You have to be in a prayerful mood. You have to be in a connected spirit. You have to really want to give Krishna and do his bidding, because if you don't, then it becomes very, very difficult to carry on with Sankirtan. So it's almost one of those services that really pushes you to do that and to be dependent on Krishna. And like I was saying before, we can experience so much magic when we're really in that prayerful mood, when we're in that mood of being Krishna's instrument. Then so much magic happens, and Krishna can speak to you through people, or Krishna can send the right person. One time I was in Bournemouth and I was really spaced out, really struggling. And I was just kind of stood there by the book table, just like staring, I guess, or something. And one person just came to me and said, "I thought you're supposed to be selling these books." And I was like, I was completely shocked. It's like, that's Krishna, 100% Krishna speaking to you here. This random guy just came up and said that to me, and I was like, "Oh, okay, yeah." And then, "Oh, yeah, I should be focusing more, so Krishna can speak to us through people." And so much other magic can happen. Even just we're in Kenya, right? And we had the boys got arrested on the train for doing a Harinam and distributing books, and they got put in a compartment, locked away for a few hours. But turns out the policemen became our best friends, and they also were interested, and they took books, and the whole thing kind of was Krishna's arrangement. So much magic happens when you put yourself out there. And it's not easy, it's a difficult service, but it's safe, and it can be magical. Personally, in the beginning, I found it very difficult to distribute books for the first. I actually got tricked by Gurudas Prabhu on my first or second day here at the temple. This is while I was still in the farm as a volunteer. And he said, "Yeah, we're going for a festival, a Sankirtan festival." I thought, great, a festival sounds good. I had no idea what Sankirtan means. And so he said, "Yeah, come." And so we went for one of the monthly Sankirtan festivals. I had to do books. it was almost impossible. And for the first for the first 6 months or something, it was like that. I dreaded going out. But after some time, it was when I was choosing my spiritual master, the whole thing came up, and I kind of in my heart knew who my spiritual master was, but I wasn't. I knew he was going to ask me to do book distribution. And so I was almost reluctant to take shelter of him, because I just knew that was coming and I didn't want it. But somehow after some time, and then also after COVID, I just kind of surrendered to it. And then everything changed, actually, once I received that instruction. And I guess the blessings of the spiritual master, then everything changed for me, and I started to more experience the magic in Sankirtan. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Shri Shri Govarnithai Ki Jai. So Sankirtan is its safest place. It's also such a learning experience. It shapes your character so much. I found this. You become You start to understand people more, especially as you go out more. You become a psychologist. You can read people. You can understand their needs. You learn how to communicate with so many varieties of people. You can also understand a lot about yourself, your triggers, your limits, your what makes you angry, what makes you happy. So it's very, very, it's like the ultimate self-improvement workshop when you're out there on the street. It's very, like this verse is saying, you can't go wrong. It's very, very powerful. So Gajrimpu was meant to give class, and he's known for his Sankirtan stories. So I thought maybe we could also share some stories, although mine are not as amazing as his. But maybe also some Sankirtan devotees here could share some if we have time at the end. But I thought, because he would share stories, we should also share a couple of stories from Sankirtan. There's one, yeah, before I share a personal story, I'll share one story from my spiritual master. It was during the marathon one year, he was in Govardhan, and he was praying for the devotees there. They were on the marathon. Maybe Vaishnava remembers. But he was praying for the devotees, and then at some point he was doing parikram, and one Babaji came to him, sadhu there, and he said, he asked him, are you from the West? And he said, yeah, I'm from Hungary. And he said, he asked, are there devotees of Krishna there? And he said, yeah, at the moment, actually, there's about 200 devotees there, and they're out on the street distributing Krishna's words. They're distributing Bhagavad Gitas to many people. And then the Babaji asked him, what do they pray for? And he said, Nijanikata Nivasham Dehi Govardhanastham. It's a prayer from Raghunath Das Goswami that means, please give me residence near Govardhan, which is so dear to you. And then the Babaji just paid full dandavats to Maharaj on the street, and he said, please offer my obeisances to all those devotees. They definitely got Srimati Radharani's mercy. And so that's beautiful. So he shared that with the devotees. Yeah, beautiful story. And okay, I can share maybe one or two of personal stories that's happened on Sankirtan. One very magical thing happened in St. Albans. I met one family. They came along, and they were super surprised to see the devotees. They were like really happy. We were doing a kirtan as well, and they were really like smiling and super surprised. So I went up to them and I said, you know, you seem really happy to see the devotees, it's nice. And they said, yeah, yeah, we've been looking for you guys. And then they told me this story. They said a while back, they're kind of more of like a hippie type family, so they kind of, their thing was like, go with the heart and go with the kind of go with the flow, that kind of thing. So they said, we were just one day they were in a town, and this lady, she said, I had this voice in my heart that said, go to the bins. Go to the bins. So she said, thought, okay, you know, I should follow this. It's something, some inspiration is there. So she followed her heart, and she went to the bins. And on top of the bin, there was a chant to be happy book. And so she was like, okay, maybe this is why. So she picked up the book. And then as a family together, they were reading this book. They'd never met the devotees before. And then they started to chant. They started to offer their food. They started to chant. They started to kind of get into practicing Krishna consciousness just from picking up this book and reading it. And then this was a few weeks later that we met them. And then they were so happy to see us. And they took a bunch more books. And then that afternoon they came to the temple. Actually, we invited them. And I showed them around and stuff. And they were so, so amazed, so happy to know that the temple was here. But yeah, just you never know. They always say, right, the seed is, when you give the book, the seed is planted. You never know where it's going to happen. So someone got a chance to be happy and they threw it in the bin. Or they put it on top of the bin. But this person came along and it changed their life. They started to practice Krishna consciousness without even meeting the devotees. So that was very, very special. Another time, maybe some of you have heard this one already, but we were in Hemel Hempstead, and this is the dog story. We were in Hemel Hempstead, and this lady came up, and she had Krishna tattooed on her arm, and she was really happy to see the devotees again. And so I said, oh, nice, Krishna's on your arm. Why did you get Krishna tattooed on your arm? She said, oh, that's the name of my dog. He died. And I asked her, okay, why was your dog called Krishna? And then she told me this whole story, how when she first got this dog, they couldn't name the dog. They tried to give the dog names, but the dog wouldn't respond to any names. So they were trying to give different, Bob and Tim or whatever, Teddy. So, but he wouldn't respond to any names. And so then they eventually they got really frustrated, and apparently the lady just shouted at the dog, you know, if what's your name then? If you're not going to respond to anything. And then the dog ran over to the CD case. She said this is true, so I believed her, but said the dog ran over to the CD case, picked up a CD in its mouth and brought it back to the lady. And on the CD was Krishna. It was a CD from devotees they must have picked up on the street or something. She wasn't a devotee, but... and just dropped it at her, and she said, so your name's Krishna? And she asked her husband, and he said, no, I'm not. We're not calling our dog Krishna, that's just that's crazy. She said, okay, let's try it. So he went upstairs into the upstairs, and he called Krishna, and the dog immediately comes running up. And then they were like, oh my God, so we have to call our dog Krishna. So then they called their dog Krishna, and so they were constantly chanting Krishna. I just thought it's amazing, yeah, who's this dog that come to liberate the whole family? It's like, it's almost like the story of Ajamil, just by chanting the Narayan. So this dog, and she was so attached to this dog, she got Krishna tattooed on her arm once the dog died. And so she came and she saw she saw Krishna book, and she bought Krishna book and everything. So it's it's really, really nice. Okay, we're almost coming to time. Maybe I can do one more, and then I can ask maybe some Sankirtan devotees to share one or two stories. This is one really, really nice thing. In Liverpool, we were doing books, and then this group of young girls walked past. Normally, I wouldn't stop a group of young girls, but somehow I was inspired just to say, are any of you guys into meditation? And so they walked past, and they said, nah. But she is one of them. They pointed to one girl, and yeah, she's kind of spiritual. And she said, they were just walking past, I didn't think they were going to stop. She just opened her phone case and she said, yeah, look, I keep this saint with me. He's like my spirit angel. He's my spirit guardian. And it was a picture of Lord Chaitanya. You know, this kind of real life, you know, they've done that one that they say this is done at the time. So she had this little cutout of Lord Chaitanya in the back of her phone. She just showed us like, this Lord Chaitanya's like... appearing to you. She didn't take about anything. She just carried on walking and she, I like meditate. He's my spirit guide, you know, I keep him with me. I was like, wow. Lord Chaitanya is, so it's amazing. You never know how Lord Chaitanya and how Prabhupada and how everyone, all the devotees kind of do their own work and bring themselves into people's lives. So all these stories, basically, all of these people, they didn't have any connection with devotees. It was almost... Krishna or Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada himself, kind of coming into their lives of their own accord. And there's many stories like that, how devotees can have dreams, or not devotees, or people in general. So a few times people have had dreams of Prabhupada and they have never met Prabhupada. Or so many ways Krishna's carrying on his mission even without us. So we can be instrumental to that if we choose. We can be part of that. And it can never go wrong, like this verse is saying. It's always... you can never fall if you want to be part of the Sankirtan mission. It's an opportunity. But they don't need us because they're doing their own work anyway. But we can be part of it if we'd like. Okay, so we have a couple of minutes left. Maybe if one or two Sankirtan devotees, I don't know, Maharaj, you have any magic stories you want to share, or Antarang Prabhu, or Varshanamathaji, or anyone.
Hare Krishna. I was just thinking, one beautiful thing about Sankirtan is it really gets everyone involved. And one story, once I was in Southampton, so like every street is different, the setup, but Southampton's like when you do Sankirtan, there's benches, so you have like an audience. Yeah. It's like, so it's great on a good day, but on a bad day, it's really uncomfortable because people are watching you all day just get rejected. So as this day I was getting rejected like for 3 hours, and then this person was just watching me. I was kind of smiling. And then so he called me over, so I thought, okay, maybe, you know, it's going to be merciful, like help me to break through, you know, take a book. So he called me over. He goes, what's this all about? So I told him what it was about, and he goes, ah, no, I'm not into any of this stuff. This is, yeah, it's a load of rubbish, he said. I go, oh, God. So then I started walking around, and then he called me over again and said, no, come back. He goes, look, you're doing it all wrong. He goes, you don't know the psychology of the people. You're doing it all wrong. So I thought, anyway, probably I am doing it wrong. So I said, well, why don't you tell me how I should do it, you know? So he said, yeah, you're trying to come to people from the front. You should come from the side. Don't shake their hand immediately. Don't, like, try and be too enthusiastic or smart. So he's giving me all these tips. So then I thought, okay, well, may as well try. Nothing else is working, you know? So then I started trying to, so I went back on the street and I started trying to apply all of the things he was saying. So he was watching me. He's like my manager now. You know? So then I came to someone from the side and they stopped. And then he looked at me. I looked at him. I looked at this person. I was like shocked, you know, like that someone had stopped. I was so shocked. I couldn't say anything to them. They walked off. He goes, what are you doing? They stopped. Like, yeah, distribute the thing. I go, okay, let me try again. So I stopped the next person, stopped again. I did all the things he was saying, and they took a book. And then he goes, yeah, come on, go, you can do it, you can do it. So then I stopped another person. And then he was like, within like half an hour, he was like in ecstasy at the side. He was like, yeah, great, you're doing wonderful, you know. Anyway, then I came to him after an hour. The whole thing had changed, the whole street had changed. I said, you really helped me out, you know, like you're amazing, you're sent by God. I said, why don't you take a book? He said, yeah, what are these books all about? Actually, maybe they're good, you know. And then anyway, then he took a book as well. So I was just thinking, when you're out there, it's such a beautiful way that everyone can become a part of it, you know, like everyone participates. So, yeah. Just.
Thank you, Maharaj. Yeah, amazing.
This is one day. We've been in Bournemouth, and it was summer. It was really, really tough day. Again, same story. No one was stopping. It was a bit rainy, kind of a dark. It was very cold, and I just couldn't hack it. And at one point, you reach a point when you become almost agitated, and you're just stopping people just for the sake of doing it, but not actually even with the tendency to okay, that I want to stop them. You know, it's just this circle of almost like being upsetly angry, and you don't even want to do books anymore. And once this old lady, she just all of a sudden she just came to me, old lady, and she said very kind words actually. She said, you look like a nice gentleman, why don't you just treat these people as best your friends? Why don't you just have more kind heart towards these people that you try to stop and speak with them? And I was just shocked. Like, what do you mean? He said, see if you can be more kind. See if you can think about them as your best friends, as your well wishes. I was like, okay. And then she just like disappeared. I'm not saying she disappeared, but then I looked back and she was not there anymore. And I was like, okay, let me give it a try. But just that small encouragement, just that small sort of this from this elderly mother, and everything changed again. So sometimes Krishna, actually I do truly think, because this happened on multiple occasions, when just random people come and they just give you a meditation. Why don't you try something else? Why did you do something differently? It doesn't need to be as a practical, but as a meditation, and everything changes. So I believe, yes, as you said, that Krishna sends these dutas, these messengers, to actually deliver different type of messages that we need to hear.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. Can you share a story?
Hare Krishna. I was just thinking how sometimes when we're on Sankirtan and we're thinking things aren't going right and maybe I'm not meant to be here. And I had an experience where, from that experience, I always understood that we are meant to be where we're meant to be. Mm. Krishna brings us to these places. So it was a marathon time, and we were having very long marathons in those days. So it was the beginning of the marathon, and I was in South London. It was very late, dark, raining, and very cold. Mm. And I'd taken what I thought was a wrong turn. I mean, where I was hoping to go and where I ended up, I was lost, basically. And but it was an estate, but very big houses, very wealthy area. But the roads were very narrow because each of these homes had a circular driveway and like this. So I was thinking, which home am I going to make a U-turn in? Most of them had gates, so the gates were shut. One house was open, the gates were open. So I thought I'll just quickly... there was a fountain. It was so cold that the water had frozen. Right? So I was hoping to make a quick turn round. And as I was turning, I saw anyone who knows, many Indian homes, they would have these green leaves garland, on the door. And I saw one of those. And I wasn't in an Indian area. I was in, way down south. But I thought, there's some Indian family here. And I was distributing Bhagavatam sets at the time. So I grabbed a set under my arm, pretending it weighs nothing, and went and knocked on the door. And this family opened. And anyway, cut a very long story short. When you're in those... There was a family gathering, so you're really... trying to manage people's minds as well as trying to give the books, because everyone's minds are in different places, and somebody's interested and someone else is trying to scupper that. So it was that kind of situation. But somehow Krishna was so kind that they took a set of Bhagavatams, and so I thought, let me see if I can do some Bhagavad Gita. So long story short, walked out. They took a set of Bhagavatams and 50 Bhagavad Gitas.
Yeah.
Right? So that was just, a wrong turn and whatever. Mm. So I left, amazed at Krishna's magic. Right. And then towards the end of the marathon, I found myself in this nearby area, and I thought, I'll go visit those people, just give them some prasad. When I knocked on the door, the son opened the door and he said, come in, come in. They were owners of big businesses. And he said, my dad has not come to work since that day you came and gave those books. Mm. He spent the whole month reading the Bhagavatam.
Wow.
Right? And that was something else for me, because I was wondering, doing all these Bhagavatam sets, putting them in people's homes, do they ever even pick them up?
Mm.
All right. But this man had spent the whole month, he finished the whole Bhagavatam in that month.
Whoa.
But he didn't go to work. They said they had to drag him to eat. They had to, so that was such an inspiration for me, that kind of, I keep going back to that experience. To, if you ever feel, is anyone reading these books?
Yeah.
Yeah, you go back to that and say, yes, certainly they are.
Thank you.
Shiva Prabhupada ki.
Jai. Okay, so it's 8:35. We can finish there. We're looking. Oh, sorry, you had a. Okay. Anyway, we're looking forward to the marathon. So, see what magic can happen. I encourage everyone to go out and experience some of the magic. And also requesting everyone to pray for the Sankirtan devotees, that we can do books and that we can please Srila Prabhupada. Yes. Taranga Prabhu says we have a yajna to commence the marathon, a fire sacrifice on the 23rd at 9 a.m. So everyone's welcome to join. So please pray. Please let's do this together for Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sankirtan Yagya ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.